in the morning and most of the Wasatch Back is still asleep. But up a dark canyon, headlamps bob through the trees. Skins glide over snow. Breath fogs in the cold. By the time the sun clears the ridgeline, this crew has already earned their turns, and most will make it to their desks by 9 o'clock. It's a strange, wonderful rhythm particular to this place. And for Naz Kurth, it's been his rhythm for 20 years. Naz is the new executive director of the Utah Avalanche Center. He's 2 months into the job and, by his own admission, still drinking from the fire hose. But he's not new to these mountains or to what the UAC does. Long before he ever imagined working there, he was part of the community it serves.
You know, for me, the North Star of my life has always been climbing and skiing. So the outdoors, being in the mountains, has really just been central to who I am as a person.
He calls landing in the UAC one of the rare moments where vocation and avocation finally merged, where the thing he does for a living and the thing he loves became the same thing. Every morning in the winter, KPCW broadcasts UAC's forecast. What's happening with the snow? Which slopes to avoid? What to be thinking about before you ever click into your bindings or hop on your snowmobile?
It's been kind of a rich part of my backcountry experience, and I think for a lot of people here in the Wasatch.
Naz grew up skiing at resorts in New Hampshire and occasionally dabbled in the backcountry. After moving to Utah in 2006 with his wife and young child, that began to change. With the mountains so close and the backcountry so accessible, he found himself venturing beyond the groom runs more and more, drawn by the untracked powder and the quiet that comes with leaving the crowds behind. But the mountains that gave him so much also taught him early how much they can take. His first brush with an avalanche happened years earlier, back in Tuckerman Ravine in New Hampshire. Avalanche forecasting was pretty rudimentary back then, but that day had been flagged as high danger.
I was staying on very low angle out of any kind of danger, and I watched three folks start to climb up a pretty steep slope, and I thought, huh, that's an interesting choice. And then they kicked off an avalanche, and it washed them over a little cliff band. Nobody was buried, luckily, but one person broke their ankle, and so I was part of the carry, the evacuation of that person, and it really stuck with me that, you know, it's not something to ignore and to approach with a lot of respect.
It's a respect that's only deepened with time and with loss. Naz has had friends who weren't as fortunate in the backcountry.
It's painful. It's really sad to lose people who you care for and you love. And, you know, that's a part of the paradox of the mountains. You know, we're drawn to it, and they're beautiful, and they can also be incredibly harsh. You know, they give a lot of joy, and, you know, sometimes they take things of beauty from us as well.
So how does someone who understands avalanches this well live with that knowledge?
The relationship is one of profound respect. Nature's powerful, and avalanches are one of the most powerful aspects of nature. So having that really healthy respect, listening to what the professionals are saying relative to danger and accessibility, and then I think also, you know, listening to your gut in the sense of that little voice that sometimes says, you know what, I don't feel really good about this line, or I'm not sure that face is where we should be today, and turning around and changing plans. That's been really important. So definitely deep respect and awe.
That kind of respect could keep a person off the mountain entirely. For Naz, it does the opposite.
And I think for me, the draw to backcountry is that connection with nature. There's a sense oftentimes of solitude because you're just out amongst the rocks and forests and snow and cliffs of the mountains. And there's not a lot of noise. There's that connection to nature, that the joy of being in the mountains. And I think, you know, people experience that when, you know, like when you go hiking in the summertime and you're taking in the trees and the views and the winds gently, you know, blowing across your face. Like, it's a joy to be alive in those moments.
That's the tension the UAC lives inside of every day. The mountains as sanctuary and the mountains as a potential hazard, both true at once.
Being in the backcountry is kind of inherently consequential, right? Like, so, you know, we help people to be safer, But, you can never be totally safe. And I think that risk issue in our daily lives, we kind of ignore, right? We think like, driving a car is safe. But reality, it's not safe. It's with modern technology, it's safer, but it's never completely safe, right? There can still be accidents. So our mission is, how do we help prevent accidents that don't need to happen?
But underneath the forecasts and field science, what struck Naz most in his first couple of months as UAC's executive director was the people behind it all. So What is something, tell me something, like, what is it about the people who work there that make this community special? And also people who are just a part of that whole community?
You've nailed it in the question. It's about the community. There's a real tangible and authentic sense of caring for others. And that really comes through. You mentioned the staff, folks who are dedicated to getting the word out about avalanche awareness, to providing educational opportunities, doing trailhead outreach, maintaining beacon parks where people can, practice and get their skills up. And I think that through line of community is, even though I've only been here 2 months, it's nothing, has really impressed me. The number of businesses and entities that support the UAC in real and meaningful ways that allow us to do our mission has been really impressive. And so I think that sense of belonging and caring for that backcountry community is what really resonates with me. And I've been really surprised at how deep and powerful that is.
That sense of community has become part of the UAC's story for decades. The center began in 1980, but it was more than a decade later, after a tragic avalanche death and funding cuts threatened its work, that the community rallied around it. What started as a small fundraiser grew into the UAC's annual backcountry benefit, now its biggest fundraiser of the year every fall. So I asked Naz a simple question. What is the Utah Avalanche Center really all about?
I think the gift is one of service. We're here to serve the community.
Forecasts, observations, education, all of it so one more recreationalist out there this winter has what they need to make a good call. And that spirit of service is what keeps this backcountry community showing up for each other, one winter at a time. This is Amber Borowski-Johnson for KPCW's Community Campfire.